Christ is the divine word, the eternal word, the mighty, the all-powerful word. He's also the divine sower. The sower sows his seed. He casts it far and wide. We should get this image of a powerful arm swinging back with a mighty hand, a mighty hurl, letting loose the seed to cover the ground. The divine sower casts good seed. All of it is good seed. The truth and the mercy and the goodness of the gospel of redemption. Sometimes we can struggle with the goodness of God, let alone of God's plan. But please hear this. God is good, and his plan for you is good. There's no patch of soil that doesn't receive the seed. His divine casting covers the entire earth. The gospel has been proclaimed to the ends of the earth, and it must be again and again in every age. And now, the divine sower acts through his disciples to cast the seed, to share the gospel to the ends of the earth. Are you a disciple? Then you're called to share the gospel to the ends of the earth, leaving no piece of land unsown, leaving no human being untouched. But before you and I can be instruments to broadcast the seed of the gospel, that gospel seed must first find purchase in the soil of our hearts. The disciples asked Jesus, why do you speak to them in parables? And he replies, because this is about coming to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. This is about coming to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. A parable is a particular way of planting the seed of the gospel deep in a person's psyche, deep in our hearts, and then praying that sooner or later it will be watered and grow. Notice he calls his parables mysteries of the kingdom. A mystery isn't a puzzle or a whodunit novel. A divine mystery. It's a supernatural reality given to us by God and God alone. It's not an intellectual riddle to figure out. He gives us the answer to figure this out. The four types of soil are different states of mind and heart of would-be disciples. If all that you and I do with this parable is try to understand it with our minds, then the devil has already snatched it away and left the scars of his talons on our barren hearts and minds. No, the gospel is about a transformation of the whole person, not just the intellectual thing. Can you tell the difference between a farmer's cornfield in the wintertime and how it looks today? The cornfield's filled with 8 feet tall corn stalks. It's completely different from how it looked this past winter. Do you and I look that different after hearing the mysteries of the kingdom in the parables of Jesus Christ? Has the growth of the word within you and me uprooted and pushed out habits of sin? Has the mystery of the kingdom rooted in you, given you the courage, the boldness to share your faith with friends and colleagues? Has it made you hungrier to know Christ? And by knowing, I mean personal intimacy with him. Hungrier to spend time in prayer with him? Has it changed your spending habits, your entertainment preferences? Has it changed your priorities, your perspective on life in this world? If we let the parables of Jesus actually take root in our lives, they'll transform us. Maybe that's scary to think about. That's understandable. But a field of fully grown corn, so much richer, more abundant, beautiful, good, than one with nothing but a few scattered weeds. How do we prepare the ground of our hearts to receive and to embrace the divine seed? By letting Christ till our hearts with the plow of the cross. The seed sown on the path is the one who hears the word of the kingdom without understanding it, and the evil one comes and steals away what was sown in his heart. Think of Judas Iscariot. Maybe you and me too. I don't understand God's plan. St. John of the Cross said that the purest suffering produces the purest understanding. The purest suffering produces the purest understanding. If in the course of my day I'm able to bear the cross or crosses that are laid on me, including when I don't understand why, not just without complaining, but with joy, that's pure, holy suffering. And it leads to an understanding far beyond the merely logical, the understanding of love, of suffering for love. The seed sown on rocky ground is the one who hears the word and receives it at once with joy, though this joy is more like excitement rather than the fruit of the Holy Spirit, because there's no root and it lasts only for a time. When tribulation or persecution comes because of the word, it immediately falls away. Think of Peter sinking in the water because of the storm, or denying Jesus in the face of the persecution of the Jews. Again, St. John of the Cross says, strive to preserve your heart in peace and let no event of this world disturb it. Reflect that all must come to an end. We belong to the Lord, and no troubles of this world can overcome that. We need only persevere in Him, keep our eyes fixed on Him. The seed sown among thorns is the one who hears the word, but then worldly anxiety and the lure of riches choke the word, and it bears no fruit. All of the apostles argued about who was the greatest, who would get the best seats in the kingdom. Again, St. John of the Cross says, God does not fit in an occupied heart. God does not fit in an occupied heart. With what is our heart filled with first and foremost? And lastly, the seed sown on rich soil is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields 160, 30-fold. The apostles show us that with the grace of God, we can change the soil in our hearts, the soil of our hearts. We can go from unreceptive to receptive. Once again, St. John of the Cross says, love him intensely as he deserves to be loved. Love him intensely as he deserves to be loved. And the mysteries of the kingdom will transform us. Love him intensely, and his love will bear abundant fruit in our lives. So here's the homework for the week. Love him intensely and strive to be joyful, especially in the midst of any suffering that might come your way this week. The purest suffering produces the purest understanding. Strive to preserve your heart in peace and let no event of this world disturb it. God does not fit in an occupied heart. love him intensely as he deserves to be loved.